church and to allow the Holy Ghost to talk to us. It's good to have Lloyd back with us today. It's been a while. He's never too far away. He's close enough always to come back. We appreciate that. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, if you would be so kind to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to begin our reading at verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the disciples came, and they said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and to them it is not given." Verse number 13. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And verse number 15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." Going over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read the first four verses of Scripture. Verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Pulling back to verse number 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Jesus, we thank you today. What a privilege. A privilege it is, God, to be able to be in your presence. A privilege, God, to be able to gather together in your name. A privilege, God, to feel your spirit. Talk to us today. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us. We're quick to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Listen, I just don't believe it. You know, I may not have been there, but come on now. Y'all know that over the years many have declared such things, declaring that they are the one, you know, the Messiah. So how do we know that he, you know, this Christ really is or even was the one, the promised Messiah who should come? How do we know? What proof do we really have? No. It's all of you that don't understand. I mean, maybe it's all of you who are not seeing clearly. Come on, you know, I want to believe as much as you do, but I demand proof. I'm not going to just accept it blindfolded. I'm not just going to take people's word for it. I want to see some proof. Turn quickly with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. And beginning our reading at verse number 26. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and they came to Jesus." Then came Jesus, pardon me. the door being shut, and he stood in the midst, and he said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed be they that have not seen and yet have believed." This afternoon I want to preach to you a message titled, The Hidden Gospel. The Hidden Gospel. See, when stopping long enough to consider both the state as well as the condition of our present world, it's my belief that you would not have to look around too long before you would be able to see both a people and a society that in many ways has lost its way. People drift. They don't really have any destination. They're not going in any specific pattern of course nor path. Guess what I'm saying today is across the continents of our world, there are walking about us a vast majority of seeing blind people. Meaning even though their physical eyes are open and concerns to their spiritual eyesight, they're blind. They don't get it. You can have articles in the newspaper, the radio could be blaring, some people sit in front of their televisions and watch the news, and it's forecasting prophecies that had been written some 2,000 years ago. They're out there and they're just blasting across the pages of newspapers and magazines, and they don't get it. They don't see it. They're blind. They walk about their everyday life. You know, everything's going to continue on just the way it was. No, it's probably not. You know, looking back in biblical history, the same could be said about those who lived and walked during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. For during that time, even with the literal miracles and the signs that Jesus was doing and performing before them, so many people were they who failed to comprehend just who this Jesus was. How can he do that? How can he turn the water into wine? How can he walk on water? How can he cause there to be a ceasing of a storm? And Thomas, sad to say, was a classic example, I believe, of the average person of that day. As I said, the same reflection to a host of people in our day. "I don't believe, you know. Okay, maybe it's hocus pocus. Who knows how he's doing what he's doing? Who knows, you know, maybe he's got a bag of tricks up his sleeve. He's just a magician. I don't, how do you know that this is the Christ, the promised Messiah? How do you really know? I don't know if these are prophecies being fulfilled, or maybe somebody wrote a good book and you guys are all confused. I don't believe it." In Jesus' day, it was John the Baptist who in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 29, who as he saw Jesus coming before a multitude of people, John 1:29, Jesus cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In an instant, John recognized, maybe he felt in his spirit, here he comes, the Lamb of God. And as Jesus continued to walk among them, as it was he who began to open the eyes of the blind and to unstop the ears of the deaf and to raise the dead, still it was a people who were blind. Blind to their chance of escaping the corrupt world under Roman rule, under tyranny. The people were just coming out of apostasy. They were lost, and yet they were blind. For it was to be through the gospel message, the one that was being preached before them, that would soon prove to be the message, once the church was born, would be that which would had carried within it the power that would liberate their souls from sin for all eternity. Bible says, I believe it's Matthew 1:23, it says, and you shall bring forth the Son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins and not in their sins. The gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the message that was going to be preached to the world, the birthing of that church was going to give these people an opportunity to walk, to do 180 turn, to walk away from that sinful world, to walk away from a life of debauchery, a life of imprisonment, a life of really being lost, a life of being entrenched in their sins, where their sins would be forgiven and washed away. And now, pardon me, bringing back into the forefront of your minds today, how that even with all the signs of the end times that I've already noted, along with the gospel message of Jesus Christ that continues to be preached, and the proclaiming among us, it's people who every day are they who are stepping off of this temporal world into the world eternal, aware, unaware of the judgment they're about to face. It's not going to be for a moment, but it's going to be for all eternity. Unaware. I could have been saved. I could have turned around. Things could have been different. I didn't have to live this life. I didn't have to end up in these rehabilitation places where people that are messed up on drugs and alcohol. I didn't have to end up in divorce court. I didn't have to live my life as a single parent. I didn't have to have such a dysfunctional lifestyle. It didn't need to be that way. The book of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. The Bible says here that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Once you hear this today, God, I don't believe, is up in heaven looking down upon humanity, just waiting to pounce on them or to pounce on us so he, God, can ultimately cast us as souls into that place called hell. I don't think he's up there like a big meanie with a baseball bat. But it is God who with open arms is he who desires for every soul to be saved. In the Old Testament, you'll find where the writer writes, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't get his jollies about people dying. He doesn't get his thrills about people being cast into eternal fire. He wants you to be saved. He wants us to turn around. He wants us to stop living that life and live the life of freedom. You see, it's Jesus who calls out, as recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus cries out, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." But I want you to hear this now. But it is the people in this world in which we live who are blind and who continue to go headlong toward their eternal demise. For the very reason, why? Because they refuse to believe when in the midst of this world in which they and you and I are living in today, there exists a gospel message whose power can be that which turns not only your life, but your entire world around. But Scripture says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." There's a gospel message that can change everything. In your personal life and in your world and your circle of friends and who you can affect and who it is that you know, and it's your family and it's your associates, maybe your co-workers. There's a gospel message out there that can change complete dynamics and change the destiny that you're heading for to a destiny that God longs for us to be in. See, the Apostle Paul, who declares, as we have read this day, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. No wonder today there could be some among us, there could be some of our acquaintance who we know, who too are lost. They're blind in concerns to this hidden gospel. They just don't see it. They don't get it. They don't believe it. As they cry out, you know, I don't get it today, you know. Is that really necessary to be saved? Do I really need to repent and get baptized and receive the Holy Ghost and change the way I'm living? Do I really need to do that to be saved? Could there be among the crucified today those whose spiritual eyes are not fully open to the truth of God's word that's being preached? Maybe is this why that there are those who would come and they linger with and among us for a while, they bask in the presence of the Lord for a time, and then they ultimately drift away. Could you imagine? You come into wealth, and you step into a realm of a whole different lifestyle, and you go, you know what? Thanks, tried it. It's all good. I don't know anybody in this house today that would get a wallet or a purse full of cash and just dump it down the drain in the ditch somewhere and walk away from it. People will come and they'll feel the Spirit of God and they'll feel the presence of God, and God will begin to touch them and they'll feel His power in their life, and suddenly things start to change, but they're not really seeing what God is really doing. And so they linger and then they drift away. Let's turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians, if you would. Chapter 2. Why would they do that? Why would they walk away from a chance at eternal life? Why would they turn their back on something that is so right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Scripture says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And one of pastor's favorite, and if you ever get a Bible from me, I write it in the front of your cover, Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. I'm not letting this go. This is the truth. I'm not letting this go. This is what God wants me to receive. This is what God has offered to me. And if this message, this gospel message, is going to be what saves your soul, I believe that it's got to be you who had better fall in love with it. And it's you who in your life who would better be the one who fully embraces the message of truth that are in the Bible. If that's what the Bible says, if Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, way back in the Old Testament there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." I got to love God. I got to love God more than anything. It isn't about a family, job. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's got to be God first. God's got to be the center, as we sang it today, of my joy, the center of my life. God, my life has got to revolve around God. Some 2,000 plus years ago on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who stood up and he declared that Acts 2:38 plan of salvation message, and we all know it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Stop. No. Go on. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I couldn't believe it. It was a few weeks back, and I was sitting at coffee at Tim Hortons in the outside at the little cement benches there. And this young person came up and was asking for, hey, do you have any money for a water or a small drink? And so I said, yeah. I said, sure, I'll buy you a drink. And so I bought that young fella, I think it was a frozen lemonade that he ended up with. And he came back out, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm actually a pastor of a church, and I'd like to give you an invitation. I said, you come and check us out. We're Pentecostal. And he said, no, thanks. I'm not into religion. I said, I'm not either. I said, I'm into God. And he said, well, I'm not into God. And I said, one day you will be. And I said, you sure you won't take my card? And he's probably about 14 or 15 years old. He goes, nope, not interested. Here it is. Like Thomas in his day, the people in our day, because of their unbelief, they remain blind. And they continue to be blind to the gospel message that carries within it, again, the power to set their soul free. Why? Because of, of their unbelief, because of their refusal to embrace the truth, along with the message of their that is being preached among them, for this is what I'm telling you today, is a hidden gospel to them. They don't see. Don't you realize that God's coming back, and when he's coming back, this time he's coming back in great power. He's coming back to execute his judgment. He's coming back to lay down the hammer. He was the lamb, and he's coming back the lion. I don't see that. Why are people like that? And I've talked to lots, because the God of this world, the Bible says, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. You can be one to sit on a Pentecostal pew to hear the message of salvation and the end to still be lost for all eternity. You sit right here and they'll listen to it. Not just in this church, across our nation, across Canada, in apostolic churches. They sit there and they hear that message and they could still be lost. Not because God didn't want to have them saved, but because it was them who chose not to embrace the truth. And through their unbelief, they remain blind. See, I'm talking to you today about the hidden gospel. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 26. Flying back to the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 26. There we are. 26 verses 27 and 28. Catch this. Acts 26, verse 27 and 28. King Agrippa, Paul says, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what? I came to church and I felt God and I felt good. I heard the message of salvation and I realized that Jesus came to die for my sins and the offer of eternal life is just out of this world. And all that I've heard and the messages that were preached, you know, and how I felt pricked in my heart and I stood at that altar and I cried and the Word of God and the Bible studies I took, it was all great. But I'm not really convinced. I still don't see it. I couldn't count the times that I've sat across the table from those who I attempted to share this truth, if only to watch them get up and say, I just can't see it. And I don't believe it. Blind, I say. Unable to see or to perceive the hidden gospel, as all along it's Satan, the god of this world, who sits back, and he laughs as he knows that his time is short. And all whom he can hide this gospel from, he will cease not in doing so. I remember it was a couple of months back again, and these are things that go on, and it blows my mind. I think, wow, really? I sat in a vehicle with this kind of middle-aged fella, kind of known to the church, and he's known of our church, and we began to talk gospel. We began to talk Bible, and we began to talk about God and all the good things about God. And he sat there, and he goes, like, where do you memorize all these scriptures from, and how do you? And I said, well, you got to hide it in your heart. And we talked. And at the end of that conversation, you know what he pretty much did? Thanks. I haven't met with him since. I said, you know, we'll get together again. Bring your Bible. I'll show you every one of these scriptures in your Bible. What I quoted, it's there. I can back this up. Sorry, I don't see it. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Matthew 22 and 14, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And today, I believe it's your ears that are hearing the truth as it is shared under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And every day, there are those who gather in religious services only to be the ones who are rocked to sleep under the banner of a false gospel. Oh, just believe, you know, just accept him, just receive Christ, and you're saved, really? Is that all you got to do? When it's Jesus who gave his life as a ransom for yours. As it was God who robed himself in flesh in order to redeem fallen man. Is that all Calvary calls for? Is that the reason for the stripes and the crown of thorns and the whip and ultimately Jesus' death upon the cross? Is that that's all it is? What? That's it? No life change, no personal sacrifice, no need of an enduring commitment. And I wonder, could anybody look me in the eye and say that the sacrifice and the life and the shedding of Jesus' innocent blood was just so we could accept him as a personal Savior and continue to live the way that we are living and to do what we're doing, to feel like it's okay to do anything that we want and whatever satisfies and takes care of my flesh and call myself saved. Many a time, not often here, pastoring is a different tool, but many time in Kona, I can look back, I had this one guy walking around, and we were just doing kind of street ministry, meeting people and talking to him, and he had a cigarette in his mouth, and yeah, he says, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I love God. And you see people in different lives, you know, they walk out of maybe the OV and they head into the church house and then back on Tuesday they're in the OV, but it's a different guy or a different girl that they're sitting with in the OV and it wasn't their wife or their husband and you're going, that's okay, I'm saved. I did the prayer. And really, can anybody tell me with an honest conscience, even this day, that Jesus, God become flesh, had gone to prepare a place in heaven where the streets of gold, folks, will be littered with cigarette butts, where flowing down the river of life will be beer cans, where they'll be seen scantily clad angels, and where there'll be heard lewd conversations among God's chosen. Anybody really that crazy? I tell you that that's not the way it's going to be, because heaven is a holy place and God is a holy God. He's coming back for a holy people, for a people whose eyes are open and whose heart has been cleansed, whose lives God has changed. And I want to tell you today, we don't stand here and say lily white and point our fingers at the bad people out there that aren't going to church. Because the Bible says, and such were some of you. Some of us were drunks and alcoholics or drug addicts. Some of us came from messed up lives and lives. Such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of Jesus Christ and our God. And that's who God had come to save. That's who God had come to redeem. Fallen man. Not self-righteous man. And that's why today the gospel message that you're hearing preached needs to be and really needs to become to you the most valuable possession that you're privileged and able to hear. Preach to me the truth. Don't tell me a lie. Don't take me down the garden path. I gotta know. What did Paul say? I know in whom I have believed. I gotta know. I don't want to think that I'm saved. I gotta know biblically that I'm saved. Amen. See, it's we the church who in these last days who need to pray, God, open their eyes that they may be able to see. God, help them, whoever they might be, to fall in love with the truth and to settle for nothing less but the truth, just like me. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. It says, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Back it up. Prove what you're preaching. Lay it down. You know what? Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a thought. And if that gospel's hidden, I want to find it and see it. I want to see it for myself. If this is what the Bible says, I'll do it. And if you're here today and you and your life have repented of your sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in an unknown tongue, then you, my friend, are in possession of a gospel message that the majority of the people in our darkened and darkening world are they who cannot see. And with this gospel, it is yours, I believe, in my responsibility to do all that we can do to share and to proclaim this gospel in a world full of people that are blind. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. Colossians 1 and verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints. Verse 27 goes on to say, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I want to sit down with you today and I want to share this gospel message with you, and so I want you to read it for yourself, okay? Can you guys see that? It's right here. You don't see anything there? This is in the Bible. I don't see that. Why can't you see that? Because in here you don't believe, and you won't receive it. So you're going to look at that Bible, and it's going to be a white piece of paper, hidden. As around the corner today, as there's people, and we included, who are facing, I believe, imminent danger and one day ultimate death, as we're plunged deeper and deeper into these end times, it is as it's you who look into the eyes of fear. You ever done that before? I've been in grocery stores. I've been in company of people, and you look at them, and they're downright scared. You look in the eyes of fears, it's you who perceives people's blindness. What's going to go on? What's happening? Do you know where this world's going? Do you know what we got to do? But they continue to seem to be out of touch with reality, and who are like sheep are slowly being led to the slaughter. Those who are they who sadly go about their daily lives, either refusing to hear, failing to be able to be reached because of their unbelief, in order for them to be able to see what it is that we see. If you have what I have, if you could only feel what I feel. 38 years ago, sitting in a Greyhound bus station, I looked across at my wife. We had just received the Holy Ghost. We were baptized in Jesus' name. We got changed, and we caught our 10 or 11 o'clock bus going back to the Okanagan. And I sat there and I said, do you feel what I feel? If they could only feel what we feel, if they could only experience. You know what? You know what kills a lot of people is guilt, shame. Their sin just eats them alive. They lay there and they just feel ucky. They can have a shower and they feel as if they're still in a pig mire, in a pit. They say, you know what it'd be like to be clean? Do you know what it's like to be forgiven? Well, I don't believe that. I'm not interested in that. You guys, I don't believe what you teach. But if you could just taste, when the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good, if you could just taste of the heavenly, if you can just experience. I remember many a time, and one time there was a gentleman here who was sitting at the altar. Unfortunately, his wife didn't come that night, but he decided to come out of his seat right where that family sitting right there, and he walked over here and he sat down there. And he began to yield his life to the moving of God. And he looked up at me like, this is out of the world. What in the world was this? And I said, brother, that's God. When you feel forgiven, when you can feel clean, when you can walk out of here with a conscience and lay your head down on a pillow and go to sleep and not have any malice or bitterness and have nothing against nobody, and you can wake up in the morning and say, this is a good day to serve God. There's a song we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so if you're here today, maybe some are listening online, if you have not embraced this gospel message, if you have not repented of your sins, not been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in an unknown tongue, then I urge you today to consider praying to God. Say, God, open my eyes that I could see. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God, open their eyes. Let there be among us those who are like Aquila and Priscilla, who expounded the word of God more perfectly. I never saw that before. I never heard the likes of that before. And I'm telling you what it is God is taking off the scales, just like he did with Saul, who became Paul. They fell down and his eyes were open. Oh my goodness, for all this time I persecuted his church. I killed people, imprisoned them, set them on the run. And yet here it is. I know what this gospel message is. And at the end, he gave up his life. And yet to many, you know, if you would have heard what we heard in church today, you never got it because it's hidden. But I have to have the attitude, folks, I got to be saved. I want God to give me a revelation of his truth. And if I already possess his truth, then God, give me a burden for the lost. I got to take this message to somebody else. I can't sit here and hide it. I can't just keep it to myself. I want you to feel good like I feel good. I want you to know what being forgiven means to, like I was forgiven. I don't want my talent to be hidden from those who right now, as this message is going forth into your ears, are on their way towards a devil's hell. A hell that wasn't prepared for them. A hell that they don't need to spend their eternity in. If only it would be you or who would be on the offense going after them would pray, Lord, open their eyes that they can see this hidden gospel. I want them to see it. You got to get it. You don't understand this. You need this. And Sister's husband comes. You got to see. I don't see it. You got to see this. It's going to save you. It's going to turn your life around. Keep your family together. Put your soul back to change everything about you. Every direction of your life will change. Everything. The Bible says we rise to walk in newness of life. No matter where it is in Christ or not that you are found today, online or in person, it's nothing shy of the sheer mercy and the grace of God that you're privileged to see what countless thousands this very day cannot see. Why would you pick me? Why would you open my eyes? If you're here today and it's you who desires to see, then the time has come for you to pray, Lord, please open my eyes so I can see. Help me to fall in love with your truth. Help me to surrender my life and to be willing to give my life as a sacrifice to you. And finally, this day, church, as we stand together, if it's you who stands in possession of this truth, I ask you right now to consider what it is you will do with it. As it's you who can see and who understands what this hidden gospel has within it. We don't need to be goldfishes in a bowl. I got my sights upon heaven. He's a light to my feet, a light to my path, a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. And I believe the time really in this, it's going to get dark, and it sounds like it's going to get dark real quick, and I don't mean nighttime, folks. The time for playing church and the time for hesitation and delay, I believe, really has come to an end. The song again sings, O soul awake, soon the Lord shall come, and none shall stand in his sight, except those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, for he comes as a thief in the night. I believe it's time for the church, and it's time for every soul to pray. I got to be saved. You have got to be saved. You got to understand that there's coming a day that God's going to return for his church, and only those who are ready will go with him. There's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. There's one way, there's one truth, and there's one life. And if you can't see that, then definitely I'm talking to you. It's a hidden gospel I want to see. Would you pray today? Would you ask God, Lord, if I got it, help me to share it. If I've received it, Lord, then help me to retain it. Don't let anybody, anything. Who shall separate us, Paul said, from the love of Christ? Persecution, tribulation, perils, life, death. Nobody's going to separate me from the love of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you don't have it all today, and anybody's under the sound of my voice, today is that day you say, God, I want this truth. God, I want the Holy Ghost. God, I want my sins forgiven. Lord, I want to be baptized and take your name upon my soul. You're coming back for those that are yours. Let's pray.
To the Lord, my soul says yes.